Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Is that you, Ramita?
Hi, Jen. Yes, it is.
Hey, very good. So I'm very pleased to be joined by Ramita. We had a short technical difficulty, but we're back on track. Who's here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the recent practice intensive on work. So thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, for folks who are on the line who may not have participated in the intensive or may not even know what a practice intensive is, maybe you could start us there. Just tell us a little bit about the program and how it works.
Sure. It's a week-long practice experience, and I think it's part of the year-long retreat, Jen? Or
yeah.
Was it?
Yep.
I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly
part
right.
Of our year-long,
yep.
Our year-long focus mm-hmm. where we're looking at being in this here now, and we've had this one just a couple weeks ago was the fourth this year, and we focused on work. And the others were on food, I think, and communication mm-hmm. or relationship. So very broad concepts. And the day that the intensive begins, we get an email with this really in-depth essay. It sort of blows up the concept, you know, just, okay, take work. You know, we think we know what work is.
Yeah.
But reading through this essay, it just like, wow, it expands and explodes, and I see it from all different areas.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, there's a series of exercises or focuses for attention and things that we can practice with throughout the week.
Yeah. You know, just right off the bat, Ramita, as you described that, I just saw something that I hadn't seen, that I just had this image of that those essays, as you're calling the assignments that go out at the beginning, are sort of this invitation in a very zen kind of a way of, okay, so here's this topic, work. So I bet you think you know a lot about work, huh? Well,
exactly.
let's take out the magnifying glass and really look at it. Because just like with a, you know, microscope or a magnifying glass, it's like, you know, you look at, you know, whatever, a plant, right? Well, I know what that plant is. But then you take the microscope to it and you realize, oh, my gosh, there is so much going on there that I had no idea.
Exactly, yeah. My experience. And it's almost like, you know, I feel myself sort of rubbing my palms together like, oh, boy, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What am I going to see? This excitement and enthusiasm builds. And then you read this amazing essay, and then you work with this stuff, and there's a, if you choose to, you can get partnered with another member of the Sangha, a facilitator, to send a text once a day talking about what you have noticed, the process that you've experienced mm-hmm. as you work with the work with the essay
right.
that we have, the focus of the attention.
Yeah, which is such a great thing because, of course, my gosh, we all forget, right? So to have that tangible opportunity to plug back in and have a chance to tell someone what you're seeing makes it so much easier to stick with it.
Yeah, it does, and it's 1 week long. So there's this sense of not quite urgency, but, you know, it's like I really don't want to miss it. And somehow it's easier for me to bypass the tendency for conditioning to postpone this or that is I only have 7 days to do this. So
yeah.
I really want to give it my all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the texting part.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jen.
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the texting part too is so remarkable because on one hand, it's an opportunity to sort of stop and step back. Or I actually had this image of almost like an elevator. I go up to a higher level, and I get to see, in this case, work from a completely different perspective in a whole different context and get to connect with Sangha, someone else in Sangha around that.
Yeah.
So I feel connected and a sense of disidentification at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's so great. Yeah. So I do want to get a chance to ask you, so what did you see? What was your experience in getting to take a week to look at work in the context of practice?
Well, I saw a lot. One thing which is so great about practice in general, but really honed in the work environment, I could see how the conditioned conversation really kept so much of experience outside of awareness.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, if I'm listening to the conditioned rules and expectations, you know, like, work should be done this way. These are the people that should be around when you're working. These are the people who shouldn't be around when you're working. This is how you should look or behave. All of those rules sort of got thrown up and questioned. Like, is that really true? What happens if I do it differently? If I start earlier and end earlier, like one of the suggestions, or, you know, take my lunch time at a different time of day? Or it brought in so much more possibility and playfulness, and, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. I can loosen up and really have a lot more fun in the context of what work is.
Yeah, because conditioning wants it all to be so terribly serious.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. And known and predictable,
right,
and controlled.
Right.
And life isn't like that. It's like I saw it so clearly.
That. And it's so perfect what you say. You know, it really reveals the myth of multitasking, right? As if our attention can be on one thing and we can be doing something else. And it's just not true. So if the attention is on the conversation in conditioned mind, we're not doing what we're doing. We're off somewhere else. We're not actually getting to have the experience. And so getting to drop that conversation and get to be actually with, actually being what we're doing, what our hands are doing, what our, you know, mind is doing, where we physically are, boy, that changes the experience of work completely, doesn't it?
It really, really does. And to have that perspective, step back and to allow life to be moving through me, so much more creative, so much more productive,
right.
So much more effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. When there was no I in the way.
Yeah, which is so fun to see, isn't it? Because I think for so many of us, you know, there are these areas that are so very real. You know, we talk about health or kids or money. You know, work is another big one. I mean, that's real. You know, that's real life content. And you can't just go around doing spiritual practice with those things. I mean, these are real things that you got to really, you know, we would never say this, right? But it's essentially turn it over to conditioned mind. You know, look to conditioned mind to tell me how to be in these ways, because I'm not going to get anything done if I'm, you know, doing my spiritual practice while I'm working. But it's completely the opposite. You know, when we're here, when we're present, we're happier, we're more efficient, we're more creative, we're open to other ideas. I mean, essentially, we just become life living.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And the definition that I sort of want to get onto a billboard in front of my face is, you know, that work is energy expended by natural phenomenon. This human being is a natural phenomenon, and life can move through me and expend energy, and that's what work is. And it's all become so much more like play.
It's so fun, isn't it? I mean, one of the things that I love is that if you start looking at the calories that the body is burning, the percentage, I don't know if I have this exactly right, and in fact, you'd know way more about this than I do, but from what I remember looking at it, the percentage of calories that the body burns just from existing, from all the things we can't even see that are going on, are way more than, say, you know, me going out and jogging. So most of our calories are burned by all the, quote, work that we have nothing to do with, you know, the liver and the kidneys and the, you know, life expending that energy. And we somehow have this delineation of, well, that none of that's me. What I am is I get in my car and I drive to work and I, you know, and it's just not true. It's just all life living in this beautiful way.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I love to see them come. I love to have and then we get a phone, a special radio show with Sherry at the end of the week also, where we all share our insights and talk and have another wonderful Sangha experience to celebrate the intensive we've just completed. So I highly recommend it. I hope we have more next year.
Well, I'm hearing strong rumor we're in the middle of strategic planning, and I'm hearing strong rumor that there are going to be such opportunities, so... Yeah, very, very
Excellent.
Exciting. So, Ramita, thank you so much for being willing to be with us this afternoon to share your experience.
My pleasure, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. And, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ramita. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Hubler. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great. As Jen indicated, we are, we're not in the middle of quite. Tomorrow we'll be in the middle of strategic planning for 2016. And I think it was actually Jen, although I'm not sure, who indicated that, you know, this is kind of the most fun part of the year. Now, of course, then we say that often, right? Like the New Year's retreat is really the most fun we have, and then the bridge walk is the most fun we have, and the whatever. But it is a lot of fun, and so much of it is getting to hear about what people are saying about the various programs and activities and what we want to continue, what people are saying, as Ramita did, oh, I hope we do more of that next year. So we really sense what Sangha is enjoying participating in, and we can get that on the schedule and create a schedule, and it's really energizing and exciting. And yes, I'm great. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, that is exciting. And like life.
No, it is. It is. Because, you know, my big passion for 2016 is that we're going to really celebrate the bridge walk, the 15th annual, and hoping that people are going to come from all over the world, and especially everybody who has never been to a bridge walk but's just heard about it will come and walk across the bridge with us. And so today the planning was around Africa and the project in Cantalomba, and it's just so exciting what's happening there, what we're getting, you know, what we'll be focusing on next year. And it's a great practice, Michael. You had noticed that too, hadn't you?
I have noticed that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's great, and I love it, and I'm going to keep doing it. So it's
me
great.
Me too. There's just no reason to quit, is there?
No, there's not.
Yeah. If I found people who were having more of a good time than we are, I might be tempted to go join them, but I just haven't found those people yet, so there we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's very attractive.
So what's happening in 2015? I said, can we just bypass the rest of 2015 and get right on to 2016? And people point out that there's a lot of good stuff still to happen in 2015.
Yes, related to chakras, in fact. And so, only a couple of days left to sign up for the new email class, Meditating on Chakras, a practice of awareness of energy. Mm-hmm. Participants in the class, which starts this Friday, in just 3 days, will tune in to the deeper forces that give rise to thought and emotions.
Uh-huh. So we're very aware of thoughts and emotion, right, and how they run most people's lives. But what is running them?
Yeah.
So exciting to find out. Yeah.
Can't wait. Mm-hmm. And celebrate a year of practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's retreat. That's December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
In fact, Michael, it occurs to me along those lines that we do have the email class. There may be other things, but let's bring it back to me. I think I am doing a workshop in Los Altos somewhere around the 12th of December, and then an evening talk in Berkeley on the 13th of December, I think.
Wow.
That sounds familiar to me.
I'll be there.
All right, good. I hope some others will join us, but if not, we can have a good time.
Yes, fabulous. And a couple of reminders for today. To make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1. And if you can focus on one topic in about 5 minutes, that will serve all of us. So let's get started here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Art in Maryland.
Well, hello, Art. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's good to connect. You know, to talk to you. Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
Really, really lit up.
Yeah.
Really having a great time. Having a great time.
It's really exciting about the bridge walk and about the matching donations. And I've been reading a lot from the old blogs, the old African Vulnerable Children's Project blogs. And
we've come a long way, haven't we?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just right, they still haven't drilled the well yet.
Oh, so, wow.
Incredible. Yeah.
We'll never know how many, you can't really say it in these terms technically, but it is the way we think about it. How many lives have been saved by that well?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, how many, in fact, Jen was just reminding us today when we first went there and we were asking how many children in the community die before the age of 5. And they said it was 7 out of 10. And so much of that, of course, went back to not having clean water to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our numbers are way, 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 way better than that now. So,
yeah. Great. I wanted to check in. My awesome Zen coach encouraged me to call in. And I've got lots of energy, and I'm interpreting that energy as just life, you know, just great.
Excitement.
Yeah. And the last time I called, I spoke with Jen, and she helped me to allow what she wanted me to report back on was just allowing whoever wants to talk just to talk and to express, you know, the experience that that he's having. And just to get it out there, and it's so interesting that I've got a the content is just related to relationships and I think that I've spoken some about it before, and things are. It's life. It's I'm showing up, and it's, you know, it's up and down and all around, and I'm not taking it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Where before, you know, I have one of the processes that I, you know, one of the ego really likes to blame everything on me, and just because I, you know, want to have control, or ego wants to have control. And anyway, so the what I wanted to check in with you about mostly was that it's really working, that that practice is really working. It's so interesting. I'm becoming so involved with practice that the other stuff just isn't really like my dad was a physicist, and there was a he was all about meters, you know, measuring voltages. And the, you know, the meters, the needle isn't even, hardly even moving on, like, the content stuff because I'm so busy practicing.
Yes.
And so the meter is just all about measuring, you know, all of the life I'm experiencing from practice. And the content, you know, it's past couple weeks especially just haven't been registering a whole lot. So
yes. And, of course, from my perspective, may that never change for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because what happens with us so often So what you're describing is, I would guess, an experience we all have. We're going along in life, and our life is primarily just a great big show of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And here's this poor human being, you know, just struggling and suffering and hopeful and sometimes making a little headway and then get slapped down and, living in a harsh reality. And that reality exists because we've been unconscious. And then, whatever combination of miracles, we begin to realize something else is possible. And so we start going in that direction. We start questioning and looking and seeing. Maybe we're reading and talking to people and becoming curious. And it's so much more interesting, as you say. It's so much more that growing awareness is so much more compelling than the suffering that we want to turn our attention to the awareness. But all that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that we actually have been feeding through our attention for at least a lifetime, and if the Buddha was correct, then many, many countless, God knows how many lifetimes, that karma has been fed through lifetime after lifetime of, again, heaven only knows who. And so it's still there, and it's just, if you could see my hands, it's kind of like, you were mixing pasta in a bowl or something, because there's all this stuff, and it's still moving and seeking expression, but we don't want to give our attention to that. Periodically, it gains so much momentum that it takes over. And we lose conscious awareness for a period of time, or maybe we're able to watch it, but we can't do anything about it. And that system would say, so this is not working. You're not getting it. This is it's as bad as it ever was. And for us to realize that it's a process, right? It's going to assert itself, and it's going to find us in a weakened moment, and it's going to take the upper hand, and then we're going to come to again, and we're going to apply our practice, and we're going to come to clarity, and everything is going to be actually, whether we can tell it or not, a little more clear than the last time we came to consciousness. And then whoops, it's like the big hand of karma pushes us under the water again, and then after a while up we come, and that process goes on until all the karma or enough of the karma is cleaned up that we can stay in conscious, compassionate awareness and welcome the karma in to be cleaned
right,
up.
Right, wow. Yeah. Hey, I'm doing medical claims and things like that are a couple years old. Because I've devoted, one of my commitments is devoting 10 minutes a day on submitting medical claims.
Uh-huh.
Incredible. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just, and otherwise, I just would never get around to it.
That's so right. 10 minutes a day.
And
ego would say, well, how long is it going to take you? Well, 10 minutes a day, that's how long it's going to take me.
Yeah.
But eventually, if I live long enough, it'll get done.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, thank you. That's 5 minutes, I'm sure. But it's really great to talk to you. Thanks so much. And Deep Gusho.
Yeah, and to you, Art. Again, to the degree that it's possible to stay in that place of just staying present, staying with what's working, living in this here now, just to rejoice and express gratitude, and lots of recordings about that. And then, should God forbid, as we like to say, should the day come when all that system gets the upper hand again, just know, it'll pass, you'll be back, and you'll be clearer than ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. All
great.
Right. Thanks,
bye.
Art.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay, you too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Art. Sherry, my cue here has been cleared out by the system, So I'm going to ask folks to re-enter their star 6 and then 1 if they were in the queue before. And I do have a
list, even if they want to get into the queue now.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good point. And I do have a note here of some of the folks who were in the queue before, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute those folks.
Good.
All righty. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hi, Rita.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I am relatively new to the process. I have a Zen mastery coach, which is great, and I'll tell you, ever since I started that, boy, has been conditioning rearing up hard. Hard.
Yep.
So last Saturday was a day I thought I was going to die. I mean, I kind of understood why people wanted to cut themselves. It's like, whoa, stuff's tough. So I got through it, and I'm starting a new project, and it seems like that's really stirred it up. And, I have a couple of things. I know we're limiting it to one. What's currently on my mind, I have a daughter who is sort of estranged from me right now, and I'm not real happy about that. The other thing is I write for a living, and I have usually a few days of intense writing, and then I have a day of where I need a break from it all. And I really am yearning for fun and someone to have fun with. A playmate and a man, preferably,
that seems to be
something that I'm against a wall with, and even getting a friend just to go out and have some kind of just fun activity, it's hard to muster that up, and I know
because Rita, hang on just one sec. It's hard to. Do you mean it? It's hard to conjure that person, or it's hard to muster up the fun to enough to find the person, or what?
I'm ready to go. I'm like bursting at the seams, ready to go, and I can't find anyone, or they're busy, or I just feel like I'm excruciatingly bored at times, and I need to get out of my place and just go have some wholesome, good time. And,
okay. May I?
Yes, please.
Okay. So usually when we talk about the system, we're talking about egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, that survival system. But there's also a kind of, we could almost say, an authenticity system, right?
Okay.
And so that's the human being, the person. There's the ego identity over the top, all the conditioned behaviors and that sort of thing. But there's an authentic human being there, right,
mm-hmm.
who has always been there, was born into this life and encountered all of the conditioning and the karma and the, everything that we come up against in life. And that person, given your gender, we could say she accurately. She actually is not looking for a playmate. She's looking for you.
Okay, I have done. I'm aware of that, and I have put a lot of effort into doing things with myself, and I have enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it. And I don't prefer it. I mean, I really want to share the fun.
That's because,
or the fear.
Rita, that's because you're told that you've done it, but you really haven't done it.
Really? How do I know?
Well, the way you'll know is that it doesn't matter to you whether there's anyone else there or not.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, so people will say, people when, I talk about relationship and that sort of thing, and people will say, well, you sound like There's, you know, why would I ever have a relationship if if I don't need a relationship? You know, if I'm completely complete within myself, why would I ever have one? And my response always is, because you want one. And that's very different from needing one.
Absolutely. I get
so
that.
So if you're having such a good time by yourself that you are completely complete and satisfied, a couple of things probably will happen. One, you'll be pretty much irresistible because everyone will want a part of that energy. That's what everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking for that completely present here, animated fully by life presence. Okay, that's what people are attracted to. So people will be very attracted to that. You'll very quickly find out that they're attracted to it because they want that energy for themselves. Right, and then you might not actually be that excited about having them take that energy for themselves. You might, and you might not.
I need to learn how to set limits on that. Yes.
Well, okay. To simply learn. So I think it was Blaise Pascal who said all of I like to take sexism out of language because I know if these folks were around today, they would want to write in non-sexist language. So all of people's difficulties stem from the fact that they can't sit alone in a room.
I've heard that one, yes.
Yeah. And so if we look at what he was pointing at and we bring it to our own lives, we realize now here's a big one. Okay, Rita, here's a big one. Mm-hmm. The only thing that gets bored is ego. And it gets bored right when there's nothing reflecting it. Now, spiritually, that's one of the biggest opportunities that we have because there's nothing reflecting the ego. That means we have a chance simply to be present with everything that is without ego stealing the spotlight. But because ego wants to be in control of our life force, it starts screaming boredom and gets us started looking for something to do. Do being the foundation and structure of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. If when it can get somebody to do, and if it can get them to do it urgently, then it has absolute control over a person's life force. So spiritually, this is a tremendous opportunity for you. And if you add in there unconditional love and acceptance, then you will very likely also, now, no guarantees, but increase your chances of having the kind of relationship with your daughter that you would like to have.
So unconditional love for myself in there?
Yes. What we're really doing in awareness practice, there's the conditioned human being, right? There's authenticity. It's kind of like a an authenticity sandwich, right? It's authenticity, and on both sides is a nice, thick layer of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right? And so what we have the ability to do as human beings is to become the unconditional love and acceptance, the Buddha nature, if you will, Christ consciousness, however we want to talk about that, that can save that human being and extract, in this case, her from that karma sandwich.
Okay, so unconditional love for my daughter as well.
For everything. You just become unconditional love. Oh, it's
like
your
that.
Whole life experience.
Okay, all right. All right.
Sound good?
Yes, and my only comment to that is, I'm bursting with energy, and I run, I hike, I do those things by myself, and, you know, I would like to play tennis. It's kind of hard to do by yourself, or some kind of thing like that that takes another person. So I find that
all I can tell you is your freedom lies in losing interest in other people.
Oh, okay.
When it no longer matters, you'll have more of them than you can shake a stick at.
Oh, right. Okay, I see. I've been going about it absolutely the wrong way.
Okay. Kind of backwards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, backwards. Okay, I got that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Rita. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rita. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Who's this?
Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. Stephanie Peterson. It's been a long time.
Yes. What's going on?
It's the first time I remembered that the show was going on at this time in so long that I finally called in.
Uh-huh. And how amazing that we're still here, huh?
Yeah, I went through all the directions. I couldn't quite figure it out, but unfortunately for my ego, I managed to get through and actually call in.
Very
good. So here I am. Yeah. With no questions, actually.
Oh, good. Well, tell us what's going on. Aside from this this triumph of getting past all of the barricades to getting with us this evening.
Yeah. I have no idea where to begin, but it's been quite a journey the last 5 years. And had a few wake-up moments. Amazingly, it came from talking about with a dear friend of mine who is Khan's stepmother, my best friend, basically. Mm-hmm. We were talking about road rage.
Huh.
And, yeah. So the past couple of weeks I've been dealing with unfairness. It's not fair. They've done this. It's not fair. It's not fair. Raging in unfairness.
Mm.
And along with, it's kind of like road rage. And I had a great moment of, you know, the bottom line, they're just people in cars. Nothing else is true.
Yeah. That is a great moment of realization, isn't it?
It was. I mean, that was after I'd had some conversations about it and how to deal with it. And kind of the realization of it's taken me like a long time, but it has nothing to do with anybody else. It is protecting myself from that, the person, the anger. I don't know if it's a sub-personality. I don't know what that, the road rage is exactly. But
well, Stephanie, when you talk about it like that, what I was just looking at is really what it comes down to, and I would say it's ego identity, right? The illusion of being separate from life, and I'm not getting what I want.
Yeah.
You're not doing what I want. You're not behaving the way I want you to behave. And I cannot control your behavior.
Yes.
And I am going to go into a rage about that. And, of course, it so benefits ego because who pays the price for it? You know, certainly not the person in the other car, unless you're one of those people who run them off the road or shoot them or something, you know, is just driving down the road in a state, being miserable. And so it works really well for ego, but doesn't accomplish very much else.
Right. So that was really good.
I had one of those, Stephanie, last night, as a matter of fact, out at the monastery. We live out at the end of a dirt road, right? And so I was out on the road taking some exercise, and this guy drove past in this, pickup truck. We live in the land of pickup trucks with dogs in the back. And so he roars down the road, you know, down the dirt road. And, of course, I'm just in a cloud of dust, right? I could just watch it, you know, start to come up kind of up from my toes. And then I thought, you know, that's probably a future Buddha. You know, because probably, you know, the Buddha probably spent part of his youth roaring around in his chariot, terrorizing everybody. And it's just something that, we probably all have to go through and be that way. And so then it gives me a chance to go, you know, just to, not in a self-hating way, but just in a, I like to periodically review some of the memories that I have from my unconscious youth. And there aren't a lot of them because I was unconscious, right? But the ones that were horrific enough that they really stand out, and then I think, okay, well, let's lay that then. Let's get a picture of that and put it next to this guy just roaring down a dirt road in his pickup truck, really probably having a good time, right? And my behaviors were quite appalling, actually, compared to that. And I don't recall even having that good a time. So, perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, it's great to hear from you. And so hopefully it won't be another 5 years.
I'm hoping, you know, since I got through here, seems like crushing the path. You can't keep me away from my heart.
That's right. That's excellent. Excellent. I'm all for it.
Good. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, great.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon then.
Okay. Okay, we will.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
Good night.
Okay,
good night.
Thanks for joining us, Stephanie. Sherry, I love that generous response you were talking about with respect to the driver. It just takes, I project, took you right out of conditioned mind in the story that you wanted to go into.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have another kind of something in our pocket that we can turn to keep that perspective, you know, because otherwise, it is easy to you know, just I like to think of that as the world started now, right? So this thing has been done to me, and this is where karma begins, right? I'm completely innocent, and this evil person has done this horrific thing to me, right? Then when we kind of roll time back and all of the things that came before, sometimes I'm really grateful. A lot of times I'm really grateful that my life now doesn't, in quotes, fairly reflect the seeds that I have sown.
Your life now does not fairly reflect the seeds that you have sown.
Mm-hmm. Because if I were reaping the harvest of all of that karma,
I would
actually not be having the kind of lovely life that I'm having.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so I would wish that for everyone. You know, let's really make time start now. And we are all innocent. Right?
Yes. Yes. To me, what you're describing is the power that comes from a deep awareness practice and the benefits of that over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing that I love so much about it is that it's so relaxing. You know, there's nothing really to figure out. There's nothing to, you know, there's just here and as quickly as we can and as completely as we can, choose unconditional love. That's it. You know, who was in the wrong there? Was it me? Was it that other person? Was I driving crazy? Mm-hmm. Was it them? No, I didn't. I'm sure it was, let's just go to unconditional love. It's just so much easier.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we have more callers.
Oh, that's wonderful, too.
That's wonderful, too. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're not loud, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm calling on Skype. That might be why it's not very, although I have sound all the way up, but can you hear me
like
better
there are
now?
About a dozen. Yeah, it sounds like there are about a dozen of you, but
really?
you are hearable.
Oh,
who
dear.
Are you?
Sorry. This is Sharon. I live in Barbados.
Hello, Sharon. Given that, I think you sound great.
Well, I'm sorry it's not a better
That's
call.
All right. Next time it will be.
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, I'm enjoying the show, and I would say a few things and let you do most of the talking, because you know, it's funny because it's about karma also. I just turned 70, and you know, it's been kind of a big impact on me. I've realized that when I dwell on it, and because I've been thinking about rejection with my coach, I realize that when I dwell on it, and I'm thinking that, you know, comparing myself or feeling left out or whatever, I realize that I'm rejecting myself. And so I just went through a really big slump. We were traveling, and I just felt I was having some aches and pains. And we climbed a mountain, and my knee hurt coming down. And I was just so depressed, and I've been there before, but it had been a while. And it was just like this being in quicksand. It was just kind of like, and I was recording and listening, and I didn't feel like I could just say the right words to pull myself out. But then in a while, I felt better, and my body felt better, and my mind and spirit felt better. And it was almost as if I was in that wheel of karma that it had gone around, and I was coming back out. And
yeah.
it just made me so, in fact, I felt the pull to go back in, and I've just been saying, no, I'm not going to do it. But I'm not sure I can always be that strong. It's a very intense pull. And all I can know is to just stay with the practice. And
that's right.
And keep trying,
right.
You know.
You know, Sharon, one of the things that I like to focus on is not just for me, but for everybody, is when we're young, if we're lucky, you know, if most of the people we know were, right? The body is just healthy and strong, and you can just kind of do anything you want, and you rarely get tired, and you know, it's just everything is easy. It's just easy. And because the devil's formula, right? So everything is easy, and the assumption gets placed in that everything always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things are not as easy, we have karmic conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, tells us stories about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's this or it's that or it's something else. So say, you know, if through your 30s, everything's, you know, pretty easy. For a lot of people, through your 40s, everything is pretty easy. And maybe late 40s, you start noticing, my body is changing. My body looks different. You know, that sort of thing. Maybe for some people, my metabolism isn't as fast, so it's easier for me to gain weight, or I'm not as eager to jump out of bed and go for a run, or whatever it is. And instead of realizing, yeah, that's how it works. So it's great that I had all of that time for everything to be effortless. Now I get to practice putting in a little effort. We could say it's my way of saying thank you for having had such an easy ride through the time when other things in life, at least in my case, were extremely hard. Like mental and emotional things. Physically, I was great. Mentally and emotionally, I was a mess through most
right.
of it, right? And then I get to the point where mentally and emotionally, you know, I'm in pretty good shape, but now the body is going in a different direction. And so as a way of expressing gratitude, then it's time to give attention to the body the way we gave attention to mind and emotions, say, to get through difficulties, whatever a person's difficulties are in getting to that place in life where there's a certain level of acceptance and understanding and loving kindness and compassion and generosity and all of those kinds of things. Now we get to give that to the body, and it's going to take more effort. It just is. So it's not that we indulge the habit of, well, I don't have to do anything for the body. It just works. Now, in fact, I do. And so I've got to overcome that habit of not taking care of the body, because now the body needs more care. So exercising isn't as easy as it used to be. Maintaining weight I have to pay more attention to nutrition or supplements or whatever it is to support the body. And that's just a requirement. It's not that there's something wrong. It's just that's the stage in life where I am now.
Yeah.
And that's where you are, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
So when we're younger, I'll project this on you since we're both females, the comparisons are more around looks or, body image or those kinds of comparisons. And maybe who's smarter or who's getting more attention or whatever that, those kinds of comparisons. Then with age, the comparisons get kind of can get a little uglier because it is true that in modern cultures, especially in the West, aging is not seen as an ideal that everyone is looking forward to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some information about being irrelevant or not noticed. Somebody said, I read something that said, the greatest disguise in the world is a woman in her 40s. I would say now it's probably a woman in her 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
That nobody notices her. And so those kinds of messages and that kind of comparison can be deadly if a person wants to go there. But if a person wants to use each time of life and each experience we're having to learn as much as we can learn, to be as present to and attentive to and compassionate toward and unconditionally loving of everything that we're experiencing, then we have an opportunity to let go a whole nother area of karma.
I suppose that's the gift of the age.
Yes. 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 Yeah. With each age, there's a gift, right? With each age, there's a gift. And I think we're not really conditioned, trained to think of it that way. But it is true. With each age, with each stage of life, there's a gift that it brings. And we can either fall into the egocentric, karmic, conditioning, self-hating trap of that, or we can use that as an opportunity to disidentify, to embrace, to appreciate.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, yes. I just would like to remain conscious when that wheel of karma comes around again. And, you know, what you said earlier about sometimes you have to ride it out. And, you know, sometimes you do have to ride it out. I mean, I kept practicing. I kept practicing throughout. And it just, it went away by itself. So I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe it
was
the practicing.
Well, did it. Did it. You know, you kept practicing and it went away by itself. That's like the harder I work, the luckier I am. That sort of thing. So when that energy is there and when the karma is so big and everything is so difficult, usually the best thing we can do is just focus all of our attention on unconditional love, on acceptance, on loving kindness, and know this too shall pass. It
and
will.
Being present.
It
and
will.
Being present. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This is my first time to call in, and I appreciate
it. Well, I'm so glad you
thoughts.
Did. And Sharon,
yeah.
Sharon, one more thing before you go. One more thing before you go. Because to me, this is an important piece of awareness practice for all of us. Not to assume that conditioning's messages about this is just how it is, that those messages are true. So is it really true that your knees have to hurt because you've just turned 70? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can you do to support your body? You know, you become now an expert on what the body needs at this stage of life. And you turn a lot of your attention to supporting the body in the ways that the body needs to be supported. So how can you be the fittest, healthiest, most flexible, happiest, most expansive 70-year-old on the planet with a plan to be that same way when you're 80, when you're 90, or however long you choose to do this, right? And not go the route, because giving up for a very good reason, in quotes, is what people are trained by egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate to do throughout their life. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you with me on that? Yeah.
Yep,
so this
absolutely.
Is just one more way that it'll try to run the same thing on you, and mm-hmm. and you don't need, we don't need to fall for it.
Yeah, you're very right. I'm planning a bike trip for next June, another bike trip, so I'm not going to give up. And,
very good.
But I do so appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thanks.
Well, we'll hear from you again then, huh?
Okay, absolutely. Hopefully the next connection will be better. All right. God bless.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sharon. That was a fun conversation. Thank you for that, Sherry.
Yeah. There was some good stuff for us in there, huh?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have more callers here. We got about 6 minutes to the hour.
All right. Let's hear.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Excellent. Thank you.
Very good.
What's going on?
Well, what has been occurring to me, as mentioned early on tonight, in a way, is a focus on process. I think for some time with the health issues that have been going on, I've been caught up a lot in content. And I really think that has been true. Wanting a solution in quotes to the health issues, and wanting it to be different, and looking in all kinds of different ways for a solution and that sort of thing. And I think that process has obscured my focus on process. And on, it's not the first time it's occurred, but it just occurred to me maybe yesterday again, and I think it's just kind of occurring a little bit deeper. That's what I want to return my attention to is this moment. When paying attention to what's going on now, like being on retreat, just having that kind of attitude about life. My focus on retreat is being in the moment and paying attention to what's going on, and that's it, an interest in what's happening here and now, and what can I see, and what's this about, all of that sort of thing. And so that's kind of what's coming up for me right now.
Yes, that is so big, isn't it? So, and egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is a master at pulling that kind of scam on people. So, I have this physical thing going on. And my whole focus is on getting out of it, changing it. That's what I'm doing. Everything I'm doing is to try to not have this experience. And again, it's as we were talking about with Sharon, that's happening with us all the time, right? We just don't see it until it's something like a physical condition that doesn't seem to be getting better, right? So people will say, they look at work, they go to work, and the whole focus of work is the weekend, just on Monday, looking forward to Friday, doing a project, waiting, just wanting it to be over. Whatever we're doing, wanting it to be over, wanting to get on to the next thing. And people will talk about that and realize, my God, I'm just wishing my whole life away. And it's exactly the process that you've identified. It's focusing on the content instead of the process. So in the process, if we realize that the opportunity that we have with the process that is life is to be alive, right? That can sound silly, but it's lost on almost every conditioned person, Because even if I'm going to look at the process of being alive, that is a step removed from being alive. And yet, are you with me on that one?
Say that. I didn't catch that last thing.
Okay, I get focused on the content. So, I broke my leg, and the whole conversation in my head is about when this is healed and I can get up and get back to my life. Now,
right.
what's available, of course, is for us to be able to see everything that arises as a result of this change in my circumstances. I have the opportunity, it's just a giant retreat, right? I have the opportunity to see so much, but I don't see it because the conversation is on, this is a misery, I hate this, how much longer before I get this cast off and I get back to my life? But of course, when I get back to my life, I will get back to exactly the process that was going on when I had a broken leg, but I believed that process was happening because of the broken leg, not because that's the process that ego identity keeps me in so that I miss my life. So now I'm up going around and I have to go get the car serviced. Okay, and it's just a big inconvenience, right? Because I have things to do in my life. And then I need to pick up the kids, which is another inconvenience because so there's always something that ego is talking about that I'm going to get to when this, whatever this is that's going on now, when I get through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have this opportunity to see, to get a view of karma that you would have never been able to see if this condition didn't exist. And of course, what the voices would say is, yeah, and that would have been a great life. Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
The voices would say that would have been.
That would be a great life, yeah. If I didn't have this condition, yeah, life would be great. Well, if we're honest, was life completely great before you got this condition? Well, actually, no. Now, conditioning would probably say, well, it was a lot better than this. Maybe. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what I think I'm seeing is that that's not even really the point, whether it would be a better life or not, because the better, in quotes, if there is something like a better life or a not better life, that's being created by my focus of attention. It's
that's
not
right.
being created by the content,
That's right.
Yes, maybe it seems like I'm less happy right now with this health situation, but that's only because I'm believing something that isn't true.
That's it. Because the reality is there is not another parallel universe in which you don't have this condition. So this is your life.
Yeah.
And you can either embrace it and live it fully and get totally into it and be fascinated by it, or mm-hmm. listen to the voices and hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all that you were talking about just a little bit ago. That it's kind of like that idea that until life challenges my, most of the time life doesn't challenge my assumptions, so I don't even know that they're there. But
right.
here now life is challenging these assumptions about how, being young or healthy or how I always thought it was going to be or, the way it should be or supposed to be, how long I'm supposed to live or and in what way and all those sorts of things. And all of that is about this idea of my life as this kind of continuum of in time, which none of, and all of that is a story. as opposed to my real life and only life is now, in this moment.
That's right. That's right.
The only time I can actually be experiencing anything. Otherwise, I'm up in my head being told a story and thinking that I'm thinking.
That's right. That's right. Yes. And I acknowledge that it was kind of a subtle point from a few minutes ago. So we get focused on the content. This is happening to me. I don't want this to be happening to me. I hate this. Okay? And I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of it. All of my attention is on how to get out of this. Or I could become really interested in what's going on and fascinated by it, curious about it, involved in it, you know, that sort of thing. Or there's another opportunity for us that is rare indeed. I could lose interest in both the content and the process and simply be alive.
And simply what?
Be alive.
Wow.
We have those moments. We just rarely string them together enough to be able to call them a life experience. But we have those moments, yeah, where we're just present. There isn't even a me to be having a story about a life.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow, thank you for that.
You are so welcome.
Well, have a wonderful late afternoon and evening and night.
All right, and you have a great evening.
Great, thanks. Good night, Michael.
All right. Good night, Jeff.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. What a fabulous show.
I know. We know how to have fun.
Yes. Let's
talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Good night, Michael.
Good night.